Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you how we do it. There ain't nothing to it. We're gonna get right to it. You ready? This is the PromoMMAnow.com Radio Network.
All right, after some technical difficulties and a fun hour or so there, we are officially live now with Bluegrass MMA Live, episode number 208. I'm waiting for my co-host Aaron Garrett to call in here in a couple of seconds. And then we will hopefully be able to get the same guests that we were scheduled before, Chelsea Falder, Adam Milstead, Chris Mitchell, and Rich Cannellina. As we work through, we're going to have a truncated hour-long schedule here as we go fast and furious on Bluegrass MMA Live. And I think we have Aaron Garrett now. Aaron, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Hey, we finally got it figured out, man. No thanks to Blog Talk Radio. We're going to have Chelsea Falder calling in here in about 7 minutes, but we got a couple of minutes to spare here. I just confirmed Adam Milstead will call us at 10:15 Eastern time, and then I will try to get Rich Cannellina and also Chris Mitchell on here. So we'll have a quick hour. But Aaron, I know you were on vacation, man, the last week or so, and you're finally back and got a fight card yourself coming up, but tons of news in the Ohio Valley MMA area. Anything stand out to you other than obviously the huge announcement that Jan Finney is back for IT Fight Series 35? Anything else out there really stand out to you that you're excited about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, I mean, if you read that article, we have a full card with three great women bouts. Timmy McCavitt's on the card. Zach Cook's on the card. So, fighting Karate Mike. So, we have a great card.
Yeah, man. The Karate Mike and Zach Cook, that seems like a fight that's been a long time in the making. And those two guys have both been around forever. And I'm kind of surprised they really haven't crossed paths until now, at least inside of the cage. And that's one I'm really excited for.
Yeah. I mean, they both asked for this fight. And there was a little, you know, trash talking back and forth, so we had to make it happen.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we'll talk a ton more about IT Fight Series here in a couple of minutes with Chelsea Falder, who I think just called in, but we'll get her on in a second. But a great lineup this weekend. First, we have Gladiators of the Cage over in Pittsburgh. We'll have the co-main event fighter, Adam Milstead. We'll interview him here in about 15 minutes, and I will be up in Northeast Ohio at RFO, where Frank Caraballo and Keith Richardson will be in the main event there, and we'll talk to Rich Cannellina from that fight card. So any fights this weekend really stand out to you, man? And there's a ton of great fights. I think Gladiators has 13 fights, and then RFO has a jam-packed card with 16 fights.
Yeah, my boy Dalton is making his pro debut this weekend in Gladiator the Cage. That's going to be a huge fight there with his teammates fighting on the card. So I'm pretty excited to watch those fights over there.
Yeah, Dalton Brady actually getting a rematch against Jason Alexander, who they just fought as amateurs back in June, and already we'll see the rematch here this weekend as pros this time. And Jason, I know, went and took a fight, I think it was in July, and actually already made his pro debut. And so then he will get a chance to go 2-0 and also get a chance at redemption against Dalton Brady. And I got to tell you, man, Dalton Brady looked probably, I mean, he was impressive before, but he fought at IT Fight Series 34 last month and probably the most impressive performance, I think, of his career. And he was definitely a guy I think was ready to go pro.
Oh, most definitely. You know, he moved up to 6-0 as an amateur. His ground game is there. And he's only, I think he just finally turned 20.
Yeah, I know he was a really young guy, and there was some, you know, kind of rumors back and forth that he wasn't, you know, really willing to go pro, you know, with only 5 fights as an amateur. But it, you know, with how hard it was for him to find fights, you got to figure it really made sense for him to jump into the pro ranks. And I think he's going to be a guy definitely to watch out for coming out of the Team Ascension camp up in Canada. But we'll talk more about you know, Dalton Brady and Jason Alexander maybe a little bit later on. But first, we have a fighter, a female fighter, who will make her, I guess, first defense of the IT Fight Series strawweight title coming up on Labor Day weekend at IT Fight Series 35. We have Chelsea Falder. How are you doing tonight, Chelsea?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. And you're on here with David McKinney and Aaron Garrett, who I know you know very well.
Yes.
But how's everything going? I know you're up, I believe, training at Fightopia. How's training going for this fight and getting ready to defend your title for the first time?
It's going excellent. This has been a great training camp for me. Not a whole lot of injuries happening. All my other fight camps, I've kind of been injured during them. So it's been a really good, strong fight camp for me.
Yeah, and the last time we actually saw you in action was in January back at IT Fight Series up in Bell Fountain. And you took out, actually, it was interesting, you fought Jade Sheely, who is actually the daughter of IT Fight Series matchmaker or promoter Scott Sheely. Was that kind of a interesting situation, fighting, you know, the daughter of the guy who was the promoter for the event that you were fighting on?
It was super exciting. I actually had asked for that fight and was extremely pleased by having that opportunity to be able to fight her. That was awesome.
And one thing that, you know, as I sat next to Juan Valley Cage side at that fight, was we were really just surprised at how aggressive you were and how good your striking is. Is that something that you consider yourself to be more of a striker? You know, obviously I know Jade is, you know, some pretty impressive striking that she showed in her first couple of fights, but really in that fight you outstruck her, and that's what, you know, helped you bring home the decision in that fight. Is that really more your strength is striking?
It is. When I first started at Fightopia MMA, striking was really all I relied on. They have brought my ground game, a whole complete 360, and I just feel like I'm the complete fighter, and whether it's on the ground or stand up, obviously I do like to throw my hands. I am very aggressive, and throwing my hands is what I enjoy to do, but I definitely have a bag full of tricks on the ground as well.
Yeah, and coming in, you know, in a couple of weeks, you're still a couple weeks out from your fight, and you're taking on a very, very experienced fighter in Roya Darvishian. She has actually 12 fights to her credit, and you just have 4 in your young career. Is that something that, you know, really, are you just excited to fight such an experienced fighter? I know she's actually had 5 title fights already, and this will be her 6th title fight. Excited to fight someone with that much experience?
I am. It'll be definitely my biggest test, I feel, and really show me where I'm at as a fighter, to be able to fight someone with that much experience. It'll be very nice.
And I actually was talking with Aaron, as you know, as he was getting ready to announce your fight, and it was kind of fun, I think, for him and fun for the whole Ohio MMA community that, you know, not only are you fighting in one women's bout, but actually at IT Fight Series 35, there will be 3 female bouts. And, you know, just with the explosion of women's MMA, you know, in the recent times, how excited are you to be, you know, because usually on a fight card, you may get, you know, 1 or maybe 2 on a local fight card, but you actually get to fight alongside 2 other bouts for a total of 3 women's bouts. That's got to be exciting for you here early in your career.
Yeah, that's super awesome for me, especially Jan Finney. I've actually been training a lot with her, so I was super pumped that we're both fighting on the same card. That'll be a huge honor that I get to fight alongside her. And it'll be fun to see, because I've always, every one of my fights that I have fought, I've been able to be awarded the fight of the night. And that'll be, I know the girls like to put on a show, so it definitely gives me more motivation to put on an even greater show. So, yeah, that'll be awesome getting to fight alongside them.
Does Jan have any fun? I know she has some great war stories with some of the fighters she's fought, and people like Misha Tate and Chris Cyborg. She has to have some great stories to tell, you know, when you guys aren't punching each other in the face.
Absolutely, she does. I've been able to learn quite a bit from her, and especially she's been helping out a lot with a whole with the weight cut and tricks of the trade that she's learned through her years of experience. It's been awesome getting to work with her.
And you know, I think pretty much every women's every woman, probably every interview that they do nowadays in MMA, they probably get asked if who would win between Ronda Rousey and Chris Cyborg. So I gotta ask you, if that fight did happen, who do you want to win and who do you think would win?
I have mad respect for both women. They're both of them, I like them a lot. I would have to say on the feet, I would see Chris Cyborg winning on the feet. If it went to the ground, I'm sure Ronda would probably steal the show there. But it would be a fun fight to watch for sure.
Given the political answer, I guess there, and really picking both fighters, I'll give you a pass on that one. exciting for. Exciting for you, exciting for, you know, I know Aaron is excited to have you fighting back once again for IT Fight Series. I'm not sure if Aaron has anything he wants to ask you since you're under oath here.
I mean, I just actually was talking to your coach, Johnny, the other day, and he was telling me you finally get to fight in your hometown. How excited here, not looking past this card, but here in, I think in October you get to fight in your hometown. So how excited is that for you?
That will be super exciting. I know I have a whole bunch of family, friends that will be there supporting me, and that's going to be huge for our gym. So, and for the community, it'll be super big.
Awesome. And then, you know, after that, you know, not looking everything good, you guys got – looking like you're going pro after that?
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Yep.
You got anything else, David?
All right. You know, we got to, since we had a little bit of technical difficulties, we got to keep things running here. But we always give everybody an opportunity to let fans know how they can follow you on social media and any sort of sponsors or anything like that that you want to thank. We always give everybody that opportunity.
I do have a fan page on Facebook. It's Chelsea Falder MMA. And I would like to thank all my coaches. I have a personal trainer, Mick Roberts. Want to thank him for my strength and conditioning training. My wrestling coach, Mike DeHart, and all the boys out at his barn that allow me to come in and wrestle with them. Then all my Fightopians, all the guys at the gym and females, can't thank them enough for taking the time to train with me. My coaches at Fightopia, Kirk Michaels and Johnny Connor, they all rock, and I wouldn't be where I'm at without them. So can't thank them enough.
All right. Be sure to check out Chelsea Falder defending her strawweight title coming up in 2 weeks at IT Fight Series 35. She will be taking on Roya Daravishian in Springfield, Ohio. Thank you very much for joining us, Chelsea, and have a great night.
Thank you. You did the same.
Thanks. Have a good night. All right, Aaron. I guess we're going Fast and Furious tonight. But yeah, man, she's when I saw her fight in January, Juan and I obviously had both heard of, you know, heard of Jade, and you know, she was a very, very top level prospect in the area, and Jade being very young, but Chelsea came out and really took it to her, and you know, Jade really just didn't have any answers for that striking and for the aggression of Chelsea Falder.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there was no stopping her. She looked awesome. Even when she fought for us back last August, and she lost that fight, but in my book, she won that because the judges were horrible, like they've been lately. she lost the decision.
That's
there,
nothing
but
now.
I gave her that fight, and that's why you know, she's fighting again for that IT Fight Series title.
Yeah, man, and I don't know the exact situation, but was it sort of a Dalton Brady situation? I think she was supposed to fight. I forget who she was supposed to fight, but then her opponent didn't show up or didn't make weight or something, and so she actually hasn't fought for the title, but she is the champ, right?
Correct. Yeah, she's supposed to fight Anna Abram. Well, she's married now, so it's not Anna Abram, but. She's supposed to fight her. Anna gave me a call the night before saying that she was feeling sick because of the weight cut and could not fight no more. So we presented Chelsea with the belt still at the fight, and she became our new champ.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, she gets a chance to defend that title for the first time against Roya Darvishian, and Roya is a very, very well-rounded fighter, actually more of a ground fighter, if I remember correctly. I think I remember her fighting for NAAFS maybe a couple years ago. I think she fought Kyle Rozeski's girlfriend, Rebecca Heinzman, and lost to her in a really close fight. But she actually has 3 wins in a row, including her last two via submission. She comes from, I think she's from like DC area, right?
Correct. Yeah. And you know, anytime that you get a call from Bernie Profato, our commissioner, and says this is one of the best belts that he's really excited to see, I'm doing a good job, I'm thinking.
You're always doing a good job, man. That's why I think you're the best matchmaker in the state, maybe the best matchmaker. But don't tell Scott Corbin I said that.
Hey, we all love Scott. He does an awesome job too.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm pumped. You know, for this weekend, be able to go back up to Northeast Ohio and check out that RFO show. Man, that's a stacked show. And we're gonna talk to one of my favorite fighters on the card, Rich Cannelina, here coming up later on. But he's actually the amateur main event. But then they have 3 pro fights as well. Just a great card, a great weekend for fights, man. You got the card over in Pittsburgh. Then the weekend after, you got Pinnacle over in Pittsburgh again. Then the weekend after that, it feels like it's been forever since I've been to a fight, but going to get back into the swing of things here in the next couple of weeks. I've been too many concerts. I need to see some people get punched in the face. You see that sometimes at concerts, but usually that ends up with people being taken out in handcuffs.
Right, yeah, I remember those days bouncing on concerts. Usually those are the more exciting fights because they don't know what they're doing and they're drunk, so somebody's getting knocked out. These guys in the cage, it's so different.
Yeah, they definitely know what they're doing, and sometimes people still even get knocked out, which is the fun part.
Right. But yeah, definitely makes the cards. I'm glad to get back into the game. You know, it's been a little quiet in the Ohio region valley right here with MMA, but hopefully these cards pump everyone up to have more fights.
Yeah, man, it's those summer fight cards, man. It's just hard no matter who you put on a fight card. I know last year Pinnacle did a show in the middle of July, and it was just an absolute, you know, dogfight, just trying to get people into the event. And even with Mark Cherico, headlining the event. Mark Jericho and Adam Milstead was actually on the card too. Adam, who, you know, both of those guys, super, super popular fighters over in Pittsburgh. And, you know, they, Pinnacle had trouble with, you know, that was one of the very few cards they had trouble filling the Isoplex. So it's just, it's tough to do shows in the middle of summer, unless you're like the UFC and you're doing, you know, Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey back to back.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even getting fighters to fight on summer cards are hard to do. I mean, that's why you just have to find those, you know, right fights and, get the right people on the card, and usually you're still struggling, but it's a little bit better than normal.
Right. And before we have Adam Milstead on here in a couple of minutes, want to take the time to remind people you can follow @BluegrassMMA on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter @MMAMcKinney. You can follow Aaron @NothingButAG, but I don't think you've probably tweeted in maybe probably a year by now. You got to get back on Twitter, Aaron. It's fun.
I'm trying. I'm working on the IT one a little bit. So I'm going to get back on Twitter here.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I think I like Twitter a lot more than I like Facebook. There's still drama on Twitter, but it's you don't have to read as much when there's drama on Facebook. It's more than 160 characters.
Yeah, I mean, it's harder to follow people and harder to follow conversations on Twitter.
That's true. I mean, they've definitely made it a lot easier now to follow conversations on Twitter, but I definitely agree with that. I don't really have a ton of conversations on Twitter. It's really more for reading headlines or tweeting. That's why I like it for. It's more succinct, and Facebook can get kind of long-winded at different points.
Right, yeah. I think we should say screw it and we'll bring back MySpace.
Yeah, bring back MySpace. I don't know. I don't think MySpace was...
Right.
Yeah, I don't think many people miss MySpace.
No. I actually got back on my account a couple weeks ago, and yeah, don't miss it.
Yeah, people, I'm pretty sure I deleted my account maybe a year ago, but probably longer than that. But people should, I mean, MySpace was, it's good for people who know how to actually write code, but very, very few people actually do know how to write code. So you get some fun layout things that where people mess up the MySpace layout.
Yeah.
But moving on here, we're going to have... one of my favorite guys to talk to, and a guy who I want to thank for being flexible tonight as we work through some technical difficulties to Block Radio. But joining us now, he will co-main event Gladiators of the Cage 18 just outside of Pittsburgh in Cheswick, Pennsylvania. This Saturday night, we have the prototype, Adam Milstead. How you doing tonight, Adam?
Good. This is for delivery, and I was hoping to get a pepperoni pizza. My bad. This is the wrong number. I'm sorry. I just get used to calling in so much.
You're ordering them. Well, yeah, I guess being a heavyweight man, you get to order as much pizza as you want.
Oh yeah. And it's 2 days from fight time. So I know I'm just pissing off all the lightweight guys and everybody who's not a heavyweight. So
Yeah, Aaron actually had to move up to super heavyweight because he liked pizza a little bit too much. But first off, man, I know you've been out of the cage for too long. You know, it's already been another year. I figured last year after, you know, you fought at Pinnacle and put on probably the best performance of your career, but then dealing with some injuries. How are the injuries healing up? And I hope they're already healed. But how you feeling heading into this fight on Saturday?
I feel good, man. And definitely the injuries are healed up. And, it was one of those things. I mean, I definitely don't want this to become the norm. But, you gotta, it's a combination of a lot of injuries and then moving up, you know, like MMA, it doesn't work like boxing. You don't move up, you know, gradually. I mean, when you win one, you move way up the ranks and you're dealing with tougher guys. So I also like to take a little bit of time to really focus on getting a better skill set. But this last time was actually, you know, a big setback for me as far as surgery goes. But as far as the fight, man, I'm ready to go. I'm just itching to get back in there. I'm like, you know, chomping at the bit and trying to stay relaxed. But it's, you know, everybody's talking and, you know, and hit me up. And it's just, man, it's getting my blood boiling.
And one thing I, because obviously I'm not a fighter. I mean, if you look at me, you can tell I'm not a fighter. But one thing I was wondering and that ran through my mind last year when you fought was, you were out of the cage for a year and a half, and you come back, you train your ass off, and you know, get in the best shape of your career and fight the toughest guy you've ever faced, and then it lasts 58 seconds. Is that something that's like a, you know, that's what you plan for? Is that kind of like, man, I wish I could have been in there maybe for like at least 2 minutes, or do you just try to get out of there as quick as you can?
No, man. I mean, my job is to get in there, win. And that's pretty much it. You know, I'm a heavyweight, and I tell people this all the time. Heavyweights don't like to go 3 rounds. We don't like to go any more than whatever it takes. So, you know, if the opportunity is there, I'm going to take it so I can get out of the cage and go have a beer and a slice of pizza.
Yeah, but still one of my favorite stories of all time was Dan Spahn back at Bellator when he knocked out Dane Bonnickson and I think it was 9 seconds, and he said, you know, I didn't feel like I got enough work, so I went in there, knocked him out. You know, it only took 9 seconds, so I went to the back and I was hitting some pads and doing some more work in the back. Is that, I'm assuming you probably didn't do that after your fight with Nick Smiley.
Coming back and, you know, dealing with what I'm doing with now, I mean, it's the same scenario, but, you know, when I was coming back, it was, man, I was busting my butt because, you know, you don't want to come back and then not be as good as you were, or if not better. And so I did everything I could, man. I was training hard. I wasn't sleeping. I mean, I was just, you know, my time was spent working and coming home and training and getting 4 hours of sleep and doing it all over again. And so it really wore me down. But in that mindset, I mean, yeah, you know, 58 seconds, you know, it could have been longer. And I'm sure the crowd would probably want it to be longer. But I don't know if you recall him kicking me in the leg and it sounded like a shotgun blast every time. That wasn't something necessarily I wanted to continue doing because, you know, normally you get like the adrenaline running, you're like, you know, you get kicked in the leg and it's like, oh, okay, you know, it'll hurt 2 hours later, but I'm cool, you know, no big deal. No, not with Nick Smiley. He kicked me in the leg and immediately I was like, uh-oh. I was like, crap, this hurts. So, yeah, I was thankful I was able to finish the fight. Sorry for the fans who probably wanted to see more, yeah, I was just happy that it went my way that night.
Yeah, and speaking of giving the fans, you know what they're asking for, you have not only just this fight this weekend scheduled, but you're also scheduled for another fight next month. You know, two fights in a, you know, I guess a, you know, 5 or 6 week period. Is that kind of making up for lost time, trying to get, you know, a couple back to back, or what's the thinking in going and scheduling two fights instead of one?
Well, it was definitely, you know, trying to make up for lost time. Yeah. But you know, I'm trying to be patient at the same time. I'm trying to tell myself, be patient, but man, I've been through a lot of promotions where these guys would come up and ask me if I want to fight somebody. And I say, okay, you know, yeah, let's go ahead, set it up. And, you know, they say, okay, well, let me ask them. You know, I'm like, oh boy. And eventually they come back and tell me, oh no, he said no, he didn't want to fight you. And I was like, why do you do that to me? You get my hopes up thinking, you know, that I actually have somebody who's ready to go, who wants to fight. But this time around was actually a different case. I wanted to originally set up my camp around the end of August, like where that would come out to fight around the end of August. But I talked to King of the Cage beforehand, and they said that they got a fight coming up in the end of September, and they said they got a guy who's ready to go and said he wants to fight you. And I was like, really? And I was like, well, that's, you know what, let's go ahead, sign, you know, set it up, let's get the contract, add the contract in 2 days, you know, sign it, good to go. And so it was probably a good 3 months before the fight, and you know, I was still training, working my butt off. And then Robert Joseph called me out of nowhere. He said, what do you think about fighting August 22nd? And I was like, well, that's about the time that I wanted to fight. I was like, why? You know, do you want me to be on your card? He's like, well, I got a guy who said he'll fight you. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I got two guys at once. And so it was like, you know what? I had to jump on that. I had to say, you know what? That's fantastic. I love it when guys say that they want to fight me, that they can beat me, because it, you know, it just gets my blood boiling. It just gets me ready to go. And you know, get my motivation back to where I need it to be. You know, and so I just looked at it that way, like, you know, yeah, I got to make up for lost time, but at the same time, I got to take this opportunity where these guys might not want to fight, you know, further down the road.
Right, man. Definitely. And like I said, you know, if as a heavyweight in any area, if they're willing to fight you, I think you got to fight them, man, because it's harder and harder to find heavyweights out there.
Absolutely.
One other thing I noticed recently, you actually signed with, I'm not sure how long ago this was, but you signed with Guardian Sports Group, Ed Kapp, and of course, UFC veteran Charles McCarthy. And that's the same management group that, you know, guys like Kama Worthy and Mark Cherico, and they have a handful of other guys who are already in the UFC, have signed with it. And, you know, I know you, you've never been a guy who has, you know, liked those three letters, but I know it's got to be a goal for you. And I know that you're probably the most humble guy and most reserved guy, and, you know, not kind of, I think, admitting that, you know, you're definitely, I think it has to be on the UFC's radar, you know, a big heavyweight, you know, athletic heavyweight, you know, kind of in the same mold of a guy like a Stipe. But was that kind of the thinking, was to get into the UFC by signing with Guardian?
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that, because actually Nick Smiley, the last guy that I fought, he signed through Guardian, and he was actually the one that kind of put the bug in Charles McCarthy's ear about me, which is crazy, you know. And it's cool to see that, you know, that just goes to show you what the sport's all about. It's not about, you know, beating one other guy up, you know. It's, you know, there's a lot of respect and, you know, and love for the other fighter and stuff like that. But he contacted Charles and said, hey, man, I mean, you know, this guy is a real deal. You know, can we help him out? And, you know, Charles gave me a call the next day, and, you know, we sat and talked for a while. And, you know, and he makes a good point. I mean, in order to get to that big show, which is my main goal, that's my whole, you know, reason why I do this now, is to get to the UFC. He said, in order to get there, you got to have somebody who's in with the UFC. You got to have somebody who's got connections, somebody who can get you a fight. And, you know, I guess I can kind of talk about this now since it's already said and done, but it was around July 12th. They had UFC had a card, and one of the guys dropped off. It was a light heavyweight or heavyweight. And Charles ended up giving me a call. And he said, hey, would you be interested in fighting UFC? And I said, I had to pull over. I was driving, I pulled over, and, you know, I texted him. I said, heck yes. I was like, heck yes, you know, set it up, whatever, you know. And he said, all right, well, you know, your name's in with another guy, and, you know, Joe Silva and those guys are looking at it, and they'll let me know. Well, unfortunately, I ended up going with another guy, and the only problem with me was the fact that my record was so low, or I should say not enough experience. And so that's what really propelled me into the idea that, man, I'm right there, you know, and that signing with, you know, Guardian Sport Group was probably one of the best decisions I made in my MMA career. So, I mean, I had that opportunity, but unfortunately it just went away. So that's why I got so into taking both of these fights. Because, you know what, I got to do it now. I got to show that these guys that I'm active, and at the same time that, you know, I'm ready for the UFC.
Right, man. And speaking of the UFC and you know, guys who have kind of been there, done that, one of the most fun things I think I saw was a couple of weeks ago, wake up on Saturday morning and open up my Facebook and I see awesome picture of you, Stipe Miocic, John Hawk, and Dan Spahn. And that kind of just, as a guy who's been around for a while and a guy who's of all four of you guys, just seeing that you guys kind of, I think you said something like Saturday morning cartoons or something like that. Man, that just put a big smile on my face, and knowing how much punishment and pain went down in that room that day with that level of talent all in the same room.
Yeah, I was surprised I was facing the right way for the picture. I mean, these guys, they were, number one, you know, it did baptism by fire, man. These guys will put you in there and they'll work you. And they'll come up to me and they'll say, Adam, what do you want to do today? You know, I'm like, okay, well, let's spar. You know, and he's like, all right, cool. You know, he said, well, how about you start with me, then we'll go Dan, then you go with John Hawk, and then you go back with me, you know, we'll just do that and kind of like tear it off. And, you know, on the outside, I was like, yeah, let's do it. On the inside, I was like, crap, you know, but it was such a cool thing to have so many talented fighters in one room. And it's funny because Stipe is all about this now. He loves Saturdays, and he's like, man, we gotta like call ourselves something like the four horsemen of MMA or something crazy. Like, he's like trying to come up with a name for our group of guys that we have together. And you know, it's not the fact that these guys just beat you up, but they beat you up and then they tell you what you did wrong. They help you out. You know, Stipe's always staying behind another like 30 minutes. He's like, you know, hey brother, he's like, you know, this is what you're, you know, doing wrong. You know, why don't you try this? And I mean, these guys are just absolutely fantastic people. So I was really blessed to have that come in effect for my camp. Not only that, I've been talking to Dan Spahn, who, his last fight was with Lewis Rumsey. So I couldn't get a better sparring partner than that. So, I mean, like I said, I mean, everything just came together at the right time. And, you know, we got our little entourage going on there. It's Saturday morning. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's fun. I like it.
All right, man. We're running low on time here. Like I said, I want to thank you again for being flexible with us tonight. But one question I got to ask, before we get out of here, man, I've seen on Facebook, are you starting a second career, or I guess it would be probably a third career at this point, but with McMahon, actually some nice pipes and playing the guitar. It's pretty impressive.
Thanks, man. That was just me trying to relax, because there's been a lot of, hype around this, man. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about me coming back, so it gets me a little nervous, a little, you know, brain racked. I'm just like trying to calm down, and you know, playing guitar and singing, it helps relax me. It helps balance out the violence in my life. I mean, you know, sparring with Stipe and all those guys, there's plenty of violence in my life right now, so I got to figure out how to get their image of their punches in my face out of my head. So,
and one more real quick, I'll actually be up at RFO this weekend. The co-main event there is another big heavyweight fight, Kurt Lemon and Jeff Hughes. And there's been some rumors going around that, you know, the winner of that might want you, or you might want the winner of that, or you willing to fight the winner of that fight? If, I mean, obviously you have Lewis Rumsey and then Rob Morrow, but is that something that might be in the works here in the near future?
I have a feeling the winner is going to be Jeff Hughes, and me and Jeff Hughes are pretty good friends. We train together all the time too, so it'd be kind of a little weird. Don't want to necessarily do that, because I like him as a training partner and I want to keep that way. So
makes sense, man.
But if the other guy wants, you know, ends up winning, which I don't think he will, but if he does and then he wants to fight, heck yeah, we'll throw down. But Jeff Hughes is my boy, you know, we'll just keep it at that.
All right, man, be sure to follow him on Twitter at Adam Milstead. Adam, real quick, you got any sponsors? Anybody else you want to thank?
Just, you know, my friends and my family stuck with me through thick and thin. you know, everybody who's been, you know, talking to me and, you know, pulling me aside and telling me all this advice and, you know, coming back. And, of course, all you guys who help, you know, push our name out there. Thank you, David. Thank you, guys. That's pretty much it.
Adam Milstead fighting in the co-main event this weekend, Gladiators of the Cage 18 in Chesapeake, Pennsylvania. Thanks very much, Adam. Have a good night, man.
Hey, you too, man.
All right. And Aaron, that Gladiators of the Cage card is a hell of a card. Mike Wilkins and Rob Hanna in the main event for the lightweight title, and Adam Milstead, Lewis Rumsey, Eric Bledsoe is on the card. Of course, we mentioned Jason Alexander and Dalton Brady. A great card. So if you're in the Steel City area, be sure to get out there and check out some MMA action. I thought we had Chris Mitchell on the line here a couple seconds ago, but I guess not. But we actually, Aaron, got to see Chris Mitchell's final amateur fight, and now he's coming in making his pro debut. How impressed were you seeing him fight in back in May?
Awesome, man. He looked awesome. Real crisp. He looked like he was ready to go pro.
Right, and speaking of ready to go pro, we're going to bring him on now. Philly Chris Mitchell fighting at Pinnacle FC 11 next weekend in Pittsburgh, taking on Tobias Taylor in his debut. How you doing tonight, Chris?
How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Hello. And still, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Doing good, man. And I'm sure you're you know, getting ready to wrap things up with this training camp, taking on Tobias Taylor next weekend. How you feeling about the fight? How's the training? Stuff like that, man.
To be honest with you, man, I'm so thankful, man. I'm healthy. My weight is good. I'm only 7 pounds over right now, 153. The training camp, man, it's been, like, I'm so thankful that it's going so well. Like, I'm learning, I'm progressing, I'm just getting, the fighter that y'all guys seen in May on the Pinnacle card when I fought Treg Wells, I'm, like, 10 times better than I am before. Like, I'm so much better than I was before in May. So, I'm just excited to put on the show and let my light shine.
I was actually going to say, I mean, that's kind of scary times better because I think I've actually been at all of your fights live, all of your amateur fights, all six of them. And it was one of those things, man, where I saw all the pieces and then finally, in May, I saw all the pieces finally put together. And I think a lot of people came away really, really impressed with that, from the wrestling to the striking. Is that kind of how you felt? That was your best performance and kind of showed you were ready to go pro?
Honestly, I don't think that was my best performance, honestly, because I was trying to use my my MMA amateur fights as just to work on my wrestling, try to get my live wrestling in live fight situations. Because, I mean, I'm a stand-up guy, but I want to work on that wrestling because I realized that the sport is evolving. You can't just be one good at one thing. And I'm a great striker, but I also want to involve my other areas. And I think my wrestling is top notch. I'm working with Mark Terrico. I'm working with Justin Wilcox. So my wrestling is, I'm working with Sylvester. So my wrestling, man, is on point. I feel like it's mixed martial arts for a reason. You just can't do one thing. But, when I saw Treg Wells, I don't think that was my best performance. I think I don't know. It was okay. It wasn't good. But what you guys are going to see next Saturday, man, I feel like that's going to be my best performance. It's going to probably be the best Chris all around. You're going to see just all the pieces come together the way I would like it to come together. So I'm just excited, man. I'm just ready to put on fireworks for the show and just show everybody that I truly am the best fighter in the world. And I'm fighting at 45. I was fighting guys that were just so much bigger than me and so much stronger than me. And it was just, I mean, the weight cut to 55 was easy. I could eat pizza and just make 55. So coming out 45, I cleaned my diet up a little bit, but it's still pretty easy. So So I'm fighting guys naturally my size. So we're going to see my transition. I'm going to be a little more faster, a little stronger, more powerful. So I'm pretty excited to see what's going to happen next Saturday.
And I think one of my favorite parts of the that whole card in May was actually after your fight when you were talking to Dave Click, and you came out and said, man, you thought you were the best fighter, you know, on that card, period. And that was a card that included guys like Mark Cherico and Dominic Mazzata and, you know, Dan Kakuda and a really experienced guys. But, I mean, you came out and showed that you definitely, you know, you're definitely in the mix to be one of the top fighters in the area.
No, man, like, all these guys that Pinnacle has fighting, or Gladiator the Cage or King of the Cage now, all these guys come to Fight Club Pittsburgh every now and then, and man, like, I'll be punching their fucking faces in. I'm sorry if I can't cuss, I'm sorry. I'll be getting at them, man. Can't nobody really touch me, man. I'm kind of disappointed that I lost to Joe Goyet or Nick Brown, but I'm like, everything happens for a reason, so it just made me work harder, push harder. But most of all these guys come to my gym and they can't touch me or my teammates. You know what I'm saying? Mark Cherico, he's 8-1, top prospect at featherweight. Then I got Kamal Worthy, I got Jay Steve. I mean, then I'm training with Hutch, Billy the Boilermaker. I mean, I feel like no one in this area has the sparring partners and the teammates that I have to push them to go harder. And I just recently changed my striking coach for this fight. Things will be going well because I'm more powerful, but I'm trying to change and get more movement into my game. And I like how I'm progressing, and I'm pretty sharp right now, man. I'm really, really excited for Saturday.
And how do you feel about Tobias, man? He's a guy, you know, his brothers, Torrence Taylor and Taiwan Howard, is a kind of a little bit more of like a traditional martial arts and karate background, but a guy who will be willing, hopefully, to stand and trade with you a little bit. How are you feeling about this fight with this matchup?
Honestly, man, I really don't know anything about him. I try not to focus on him. All I know is I'm just trying to get better each and every day, be better my former self each and every day, win today, and that's all I'm focused on. I really can care less about Tobias Taylor, man. I'm just focused on me and trying to be better at everything in MMA, trying to get better at jiu-jitsu, at wrestling, at striking, at every technique possible. Just try to win today, and that's all I'm focused on.
Right, and my co-host Aaron Garrett got to see you fight in May as well, and I'm sure he has some questions for you.
Yes. I mean, you know, are you, like you said, you were very disappointed you lost to Nick. I mean, do you see a rematch in the future with that?
With who?
Nick Brownie.
Nick Brown. I'm going down to the 45, then eventually I'm gonna go down to 35. So I really don't want to fight guys that's just that much bigger than me. And I feel like in my heart, like Nick Brownie is nowhere near my level. So I feel like there's no need to even explore that option anymore. I'm just going down to fight guys my natural size. So, I mean, I don't care. If he could come to 45, I'd gladly fight him, but I'm not fighting at 55 no more. Them guys are just too bigger, too much big, and it's not good for me. So I'm just trying to be smart and get to the show where I feel like I need to be. That's where I belong. That's where I'm saying I want to go. So I'm trying to get to the show, and right now is at 45 and 35, so.
Awesome. Yeah, smart fighter right there. And, I mean, like you said, I watched you, your last fight, and you fought a wrestler, and, I mean, he could not take you down, and you were taking him down. So, you looked good. You said it wasn't your best performance. I thought it was an awesome one. I'm pretty excited to see what you come with next also.
No, man, I mean, when I fought Trigg Wells, man, I was just so thankful and just very happy to be back in the cage. If you guys go back and watch the fight in the first round, you could see me smiling and just looking at the crowd because I was just like, wow, I'm really back in here. Like, I really love doing this sport. Like, this is my passion. This is like, I feel like this is my purpose. This is my calling. So I was just, man, I was just so thankful to be back in there. And honestly, I like that he was going for takedowns. He made me work. I just wanted to get knock the rust off. I still felt a little rusty, but with him taking me down and him pushing and working like that, it helped knock a lot of rust off and the jitters. And I'm so confident, and I just believe that it's my time right now. And I have an unbreakable will right now. I'm working so hard with my coach Dan, with Sylvester, with Lou, my teammates Karma. My team Karma been pushing me so hard this camp. It's been my majority training partner, and I feel like no one in this area has the speed and athleticism like a Karma or a J. Steve. So, you know what I'm saying? Karma, shout out to Karma for pushing me so hard. So, I feel like just sparring with Karma for like a whole month, his speed has just got me so sharp and just so, I'm just so ready, man, to just put on fireworks for you guys.
Awesome. Yeah.
Definitely ready for it, man. Like I said, I think I wrote that I hope this fight turns into like a Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I think it's going to be a great fight, and excited to see you back in there, man. Let the listeners know how they can follow you on social media and any sponsors, anything like that that you mentioned.
Yeah, I'd like to shout out my sponsors, Craig's Lawn Service. He's been there, I think, just since Joe Goyette fight, so I like to, you know what I'm saying, shout out to him. Thank you for the support. I appreciate it. I love you. I like to shout out straight to the league for being there. I think they was there for like my second fight or something like that. So I'll shout out to those guys. Appreciate the support. I like to shout out the whole Fight Club, Pittsburgh, Greg, Rudolph, Mark Cherico, Kama, Ryan, Justin Patton, Shaka, my coaches Lou, Dan, Sylvester, crew, Anthony Darnell. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Chris H Mitchell _911, at Facebook at Chris Mitchell, and on Instagram at Chris H Mitchell. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm everywhere. Come follow me. I'm one of the best fighters in the PA, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee area, period. Ain't nobody at 45, 35 touching me, and I'm willing to show the world on August 29th how great I am, that I belong in the UFC, and do notice I will be there.
All right, man. Thank you very much. We'll see you next weekend at Pinnacle FC 11. Have a good night, man.
All right. See you guys.
All right, Aaron. Moving right along, we have our next guest, a guy who I'm sure you have to have seen this guy fight before. He has 19 fights. Have you seen Richie Cannellina fight in person before?
I believe I have once, and it was a while back ago. I can't remember where, but I've seen so many fights in my life. I can't remember half of my own.
You're turning into Gary. You're not going to enough fights, man. You've only seen Rich fight once.
I mean, I go more than Gary, so that should be good enough. I mean, you go to two a year, you're more than Gary.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and bring him on. He is the amateur main event this weekend at RFO Big Gun 16 in Talmadge, Ohio. Rich Cannellina defending his featherweight title against Ali Edwards. How you doing tonight, Rich?
What's going on, man? How are you? Am I talking loud enough?
Yeah, man, you're good. Coming in, man, defending your featherweight title for the first time. You get to fight, another experienced guy in Ali Edwards. And this was a fight that kind of was, I don't want to say thrown together at the last minute, but just announced just a couple weeks before. Honestly, the fight that I'm by far most excited for in this. I've seen you fight a lot, and I actually used to train with Ali, and he's been one of the better guys in Ohio for a while. Are you as excited for this fight, I think, as I am?
Yeah, man, I'm lit up about it. When my fight got canceled, I was originally scheduled to fight Brandon Odom. He told my Facebook and his teammates with Aaron Neighbors. So after I beat him, Odom, won the shot. So I wanted that fight really bad, just to put an end to that. And the commission wouldn't allow it, I guess, because he was coming off a loss in his record. So after that fight fell through, I made it known, I went to Matt and I said, look, you find me the toughest guy east of the Mississippi. I want to fight the toughest guys. I want the best prospect. I want whoever you can put in front of me, I don't want to bum. I want to fight the best guy because it's time for me to prove, you know, that my name does belong in the top prospect conversation. I feel like I'm always left out. And, you know, it's time for me to put somebody, you know, in front of me and you know, really make that statement. So I told him, and Matt knew that, and that's what they did, and that's the fight I wanted. So they did their job.
Yeah, man. Like I said, Adley's a really, really tough, well-rounded guy. You know, only has one blemish on his record, but, you know, coming in, fighting for your title. You mentioned that, you know, RFO, I think you said they're the best organization you've ever fought for. And I think that, you know, a lot of people have been to RFO shows, you know, really get that, you know, that kind of hometown feel, but you can tell that the person putting on that show is, you know, really, really passionate guy in Matt Truck. What's it like fighting for Matt?
Oh man, I have had the pleasure of fighting for some of the best organizations out there. I mean, I think the Pittsburgh, Ohio area has some of the best promotions. But when I went out and fought for RFO, it was like it was a different experience for me. They, as an amateur, I felt like I was treated as a professional. Everything was on time. They put me in a great hotel, two nights. You know, most of the time you have to beg for that kind of stuff as an amateur fighter. Like, hey, I'm traveling in 3 hours. Can I get a hotel? Or, you know, I'm never the one to ask for that kind of stuff. But Matt, I mean, he took care of me. The tickets were good. I was on time. The commission was there on time. Weigh-ins were on time. This show went so smooth, and that crowd was just something different. That Mansfield crowd. I was a Pittsburgh kid in Mansfield, and I felt like I was in my hometown. Those guys, and it wasn't like the typical fight fans that you get. Kick him in the head as an amateur, and you're like, what is this guy saying? You can't do that. Like, unintelligent people. You know, intelligent people just screaming stupid stuff at you. These people were yelling like very intelligent MMA terms, and it was just something different to me. And Matt really takes care of me. He's a great person. Everyone in the works for that organization, they promote everything well. I love RFO, so you know, I'm loyal to them. I'm ready to fight for them again, and Matt knows that.
I think I've probably been asking you this question since before you fought Ethan Goss for the first time, but this is your 20th fight. Is this the last amateur fight, or are you going to take 20 more?
You never know, man. I know I get asked this question all the time, and I think I said at Yankee Lake like 5 years ago that was my last amateur fight. But then I come back to the drawing board, and the thing is that I had kind of the boxing mentality. If you look at boxers, there's no person that rushes to turn pro. They have 40, 50, 60, some of them 100 amateur fights. And it's for a reason. That's practice before you become a professional athlete. I've seen so many guys from MMA that rush to turn pro, that they have a good amateur record. But when you turn professional, the game changes. There's kicks, knees, elbows to the head. It's a different ball game. There's no more fish out there. You're fighting tough studs every fight, and you got to be on top of your game. And I've seen guys rush to turn pro to make a quick dollar, and you go 0-1, 0-2, 1-2. I mean, good guys with records that were like 10-0 as amateurs, and they fail as a beginning professional, and then they're done. Your UFC career, your dream it's done. So, and when people ask me why I waited, it's practice for me, and I want to make sure mindset-wise, skill-set-wise, I'm ready when I turn pro to make a 5-0 run, 6-0 run, and really make those exciting wins to make it to the big show. I'm not just going to turn pro to make $800 a fight. This is my dream, and I want to do it right. So I believe this is my last fight, but I'm not going to make any promises.
I like that mindset, man. It's one of those things that I feel like you'll know it when you see it. And you know, this Saturday night you're taking on Adley Edwards, but you're fighting, you know, Adley, a really, really good wrestler. I'm not sure how much tape you've seen on him, but he trains with a good wrestling camp and trains with Josh. You know, how do you plan on combating his wrestling in this fight?
If you take a look back, that's another thing that I told Matt, give me a wrestler. I wanted this fight for a reason. I need to prove to everybody and myself that I struggled against Jarrell Hodge, and everyone saw that. I stood and banged with Jarrell, who has wins over very notable guys, and I thought he was going to come out and stand and bang with me, and he took me down. And, you know, I was a pretty good wrestler in high school and could have wrestled in college and everything like that, but I don't use it enough, and people underestimate my wrestling ability and my jiu-jitsu ability. But if you look at my record, man, that's what happens. I go out there, people realize they're not going to stand and bang with me. They go to take me down. And then just look at my record. It speaks for itself. I have a lot of majority of my wins are subs. So the way I see it going, he's going to get frustrated on his feet. I think I can stop that takedown, and he's going to be in my world. And that's the problem that a lot of people have, is we're not starting on the ground. He's starting in my world. And I think it's pretty well known right now that I'm training with the Pittsburgh kid, Paul Spadafora, and Jared Boyer as my boxing coaches. So, man, I can't wait to come out there and show everybody what I've been working on.
Yeah, going back, your last UFO in March, that's pretty much exactly what happened. You guys were out throwing some punches, and Aaron went in for the takedown, and being the shorter guy, wasn't able to get low enough and put his neck right there for you to take and choked him out.
I think
that's probably happened. That's been more than once.
Yeah, the 19 times, that's happened a lot. But recently, man, guys get out there and they get that jab in their face, and they get the footwork, and they don't know what to do with it, and they panic. You know, I think I'm one of the more intelligent guys out there. I kind of resemble Anderson Silva when I try to fight. Like, it takes me about a minute to a minute and a half in the first round to figure somebody out. I'm picking their moves apart. I'm picking their feet work, their footwork apart. I'm trying to just pick the little tiny things out, so when they make that mistake again, I capitalize on it. And guys get frustrated out there with that jab in their face, and they just – they make that desperation move, and that's when bad things happen for them. So,
right. I got one more question, then I'm going to let Aaron ask you some questions. But you mentioned you were talking with you're training with Spadafora, and you've been gyms recently. Where are you training at right now? You still at top tier, or kind of doing piecemeal, or where's your?
I'm at World Class MMA right now. I kind of went full circle. I started there with Coach Ropo from day one when I went to Ambridge High School. That's where I started, with Adam Milstead. Me and him were together at the very beginning. But with my work schedule, and I'm sure Adam could speak mine to this, we both work for the same company in oil and gas. So I also have a full-time job as a safety engineer. It wasn't a switch, you know. There's nothing against top tier. I love Josh. I love Mike Willis. I love all those guys. But it was a decision I had to make for my career. Like, I'm working all these hours, and the way their classes fell, I had to just stop at the world class on my way home and work out my boxing schedule also. So, there's no hard feelings there at all. I didn't make the switch for any other reason besides just my work schedule that's how all that happened. But
Aaron?
Yes, sorry. Yeah, I mean, this be your ninth title fight. I got, a serious question for you. Where do you keep them all at?
Cody Garbrandt used to tease me all the time as my Twitter name for a while. He used to call me Two Belts, and then I think at one time I had three. I don't know. I do have them on the mantle and on the fireplace, but to me, it's nothing. I just want to fight the best competition. So the titles are great, but at the end of the day, I'm fighting the best guys. And I looked yesterday, and I was ranked second in the state of Ohio out of 99 active fighters, with number one being Tobias Taylor, and he turned pro. So right now, that leaves me at number one, and that was my goal when I started this, was to be number one. And I want to be number one in the country, not just Ohio. But yeah, it's funny, but they're sitting on the mat. I clean them every once in a while.
Nice, yeah. You just brought up Taylor. He actually fought Adley and knocked him out. Did you ever watch that fight?
Yeah, and I've talked to Tobias about that fight, and there's not a lot of film on Adley. And for the first time in my career, like, I used to be worried about sponsorships, and I'd study fight film on the guy, and I would just, like, overwhelm myself. But for the first time, like, recently, last fight, I had one sponsor. That was it. Like, unless you're doing something for me, and I'm worried about my game, and that's how I am this fight. I know he's a wrestler. I know he's got good jits. I know he's willing to go out there and bang too. The video I've seen of him, he comes out there and he'll throw down. So, but I didn't concentrate on that. I'm worried about my game, and if I can keep him where I want him, he's in deep trouble, deep, deep trouble. So I'm worried about my game and whatever he brings. And, but I didn't have an opportunity to watch that fight or, be there live. No, I wasn't there for that.
Okay. And then last question.
Give me the combination he put him to sleep with. So,
hey, awesome. Yeah, his only loss, you know, coming from him. So what better guy to talk to?
Exactly.
So, but,
and I think that going into the fight plays a key. When you get knocked out in a fight, it changes your mentality. I've seen guys get knocked out and go back in there, and they're really timid. And then also when you get knocked out, it kind of seems to keep happening. If you look at Chuck Liddell late in his career and those guys that get clipped. So, you know, I feel like I hit harder than most guys at 45. So, we'll see how that chin holds up this time.
Sounds great to me. And then last question is, I'm a DJ by profession. What song is coming out to Saturday?
Oh man, that started a Facebook war. I posted that like last week about what colored Gucci's I should wear for weigh-ins and what song I should come out for the entrance. Like, sometimes you just need you're so in the training camp that you just need a night where you just sit back on your phone and you just laugh at what people have to say. But I knew the whole time what song I was coming out to. It's just to get a laugh and take a break from training. But my song's actually custom made. It's Eric Thomas and an inspirational speaker at the very beginning for about a minute. And most of the time I stay back behind the curtain for a while. And then I come out to Matt Mayer because he lives, it's a Christian song. So it's a little different, but last time, man, I had tears in my eyes coming down there, and I think a lot of the crowd did. And I got a lot of messages after that fight about the message that sent in that building, man. It was quite the moment, and I feel like that this sold out crowd is going to be the same way. It's different for people to hear something like that after they hear like Slipknot or something crazy, to hear a little motivational speaking, and then a Christian song is totally different.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, and Aaron said he's a professional DJ. I think that that's used professional very loosely there. But anyway.
Oh, man.
No, Aaron knows I love him. Down to 150, we're going to fight one day. But anyway, let us know how we can find you on social media. Any sponsors, anything else like that you want to before we?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook right now. Just search my name, Rich Cantalina. Instagram, I'm Rich Dog Cantalina. I'm on Twitter, but I don't use it anymore. I kind of stopped. It's just too much for me right now. And I do have 100% Violence to thank. I'm trying to think of sponsors that have recently helped me out, and you know, I'm really thankful, and most people don't say this, for my job, Mark West and Mac Safety. I'm a safety consultant. I work for Mac Safety for Mark West. And these guys allow me to chase my dream to leave work early, and they're all going to be at the fight. And to have that job opportunity to be able to make a living and still be able to chase my dream is just amazing. So I'm very thankful for the Miranda family for giving me the opportunity. And then, as most people know, man, I'm a diehard family member. I eat Sunday dinner every Sunday with my family, and without my parents and my sister and my whole family, I could never do this. I came home tonight from training camp. I'm just exhausted and beat, and my mom's here cleaning my house, taking care of my dog. So, brings tears to my eyes, but I couldn't do this without my family, man. They're very special people, and I hope someday that I've made them proud. So those are the people that I have to thank. And thank you guys, Bluegrass MMA, Dave, Aaron, and anybody out there that's helping us young guys that don't have a name yet that do this kind of stuff for us to help us get our names out there and that support us and really help us out. This is awesome, man.
Right, man. Thank you very much for joining. Be sure to check out Rich Cannelina defending his featherweight title in the amateur main event this weekend. RFO Big Gun 16, the summit. It is a mouthful, but it will be at the Summit County Fairgrounds in Talmadge, Ohio. Get out there and support. I mean, I've been going to RFO shows for a long time now. And I say, you know, speak highly enough of Matt and Melissa and all the great people there, Jake Digman and Scott Corbin, who put on a first-class show every single time there. You know, kind of branching out a little bit, so it'll be interesting to see what the crowd is like. But it's a long drive for me and excited about the fight card. Thank you very much, Rich, man.
All right, thanks, Dave. And I just want to wish Adley good luck this weekend. You know, no hard feelings at all, man. Nothing but respect for the kid. And just hope training camp went well, and we're going to put on a show for everyone. So good luck, Adley.
All right, thanks, man. Have a good night.
All right, take care. You too.
And Aaron, this sport never ceases to, I don't want to say amaze me, but there's a reason why people like me and Gary and Juan and even yourself, I know you actually probably make a couple bucks, but I don't really make a lot of money covering mixed martial arts. I do it because I love it. And I stay close to the sport because of, you know, we have, because of the people like we had on tonight, we had Adam Milstead, who, really, really well spoken. And you go up to this guy, and other than the fact that he's like 6'4", 240 pounds, you wouldn't know that this guy's a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And all these guys, you know, that, you know, super, super respectful, well-spoken, and just fantastic ambassadors for the sport. Every single fighter that we had on tonight. I want to say thank you to Chelsea Falder, Adam Milstead, Chris Mitchell, and of course, Rich Cannelina. But yeah, man, I'm glad we were able to work out some of the difficulties. Hopefully, here in the next few weeks and months, we can get Bluegrass MMA Live back on its feet. And because I know you always enjoy the shows, Aaron, and I always enjoy doing the shows as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. I definitely miss, you know, talking to these people. I mean, I know a lot of people know I'm a matchmaker, but like all these fights I've matched, I mean, I become friends with these fighters because they're so, you know, they're just like me, and they just love the sport and, you know, want to step in that middle of that cage, and it's awesome.
Right, and be sure to get your tickets. IT Fight Series 5 going down Labor Day weekend. What a fantastic end to the summer. Going to be outdoors, right, at Competition Accessories up in Springfield. And I'm pretty sure Springfield's really close to me, so I want to thank you for giving me a short drive.
Yeah, it's only an hour for you, so
go on, drive me.
3 hours long this weekend ain't going to be nothing.
Yeah, well, it's closer to 4 for me up to Northeast Ohio, man. But this weekend I got Cleveland, then Pittsburgh, then Springfield. So closing out the unofficial end of summer with a bang, with, you know, back to back, just absolutely great fight cards. Probably the three of the best organizations in the area. Tons of great fights. Just get out there, support local MMA. Like I said, this weekend, RFO, Gladiators of the Cage, if you're over in Pittsburgh. Next weekend, we have Pinnacle. Then the weekend after that, like I said, IT Fight Series.
Yeah. I mean, I fought for RFO once, and nothing but, you know, 100% treating fighters like professionals is awesome.
Yeah. Let's do some picks. We talked about we talked about Mike Wilkins and Rob Hanna. That's the main event, Gladiators of the Cage, lightweight title. Who you got in that one?
I've never actually seen Wilkins fight, but I gotta pick my boy Hanna, just because, you know, I trained with him. He's my boy, great fighter, undefeated fighter, and Bellator vet. I think he's anywhere the fight will go, he's gonna pull that win out.
Man, Wilkins is as tough as they come, and I am a huge Mike Wilkins fan, but I learned a long time ago not to underestimate Rob Hanna. Rob is a tough, durable, and driven guy, and I think he's going to eke out probably a really close. I think it's going to be a decision. It's going to be a great fight back and forth. We have Adam Miller taking on Lindsay in the co-main event there. Who do you got in that one?
Which one? Sorry.
Adam Milstead taking on Lewis Rumsey. Rumsey took Dan Spawn to a decision back in June.
Right, yeah. But training with Dan Spawn, you know, all those guys he's saying, Hawk, I don't see anybody training with that top notch of guys going to lose a fight. So I'm going to go with Adam.
Yeah, I like Adam Milstead in that fight too. You know, Lewis is he's a really durable guy, and it'll be interesting to see if he can finish him. But that's going to be a great back-and-forth fight. Then we got over at RFO, Frank Caraballo, Keith Richardson, two super experienced featherweight fighters. Who do you got in that one?
You know, I got Frank the Tank. He's very experienced. Both of them, like you said, are very experienced. You know, Frank has a little bit more experience in the bigger shows, but yeah, he should be able to get that one done.
Yeah, I saw Keith Richardson fight live back at Fight Lab back in November, and he's tough. But I think it's a real test, and I think I see Frank coming out eking out a decision in that one. And then the co-main event there is the heavyweights Kurt Lemon and Jeff Hughes. If Rich can't Adley Edwards wasn't on this card, then that would be the fight that I was most looking forward to. Who do you got in that one?
You know, I've seen both of these guys fight. You know, both of them in my weight class. I wouldn't want to fight either one of them. but, you know, Kurt Lemon's, you know, coming off his first loss. That was a tough one. But I'm going to give it to Kurt.
Man, I think that's the first time time we've disagreed. I'm a really, really big Kurt Lemon fan. Good dude, a fun guy to talk to. I met him a couple of different times, and really impressed me when he fought John Hawk back in March and took everything that John Hawk could dish out and all the came up short in that one, but man, did he win a lot of fans over in that one. But I got to go with Jeff Hughes, man. Jeff is a different animal. He's undefeated 2-0 as a pro right now. I don't know if he's going to be able to get his fourth finish, or I'm sorry, he's 3-0 as a pro. I don't know if he's going to be able to get his fourth finish, but I think Jeff Hughes, you know, Kurt probably has a body frame more for 205. I know he even actually fought at 185 early on in his amateur career. Jeff Hughes is a natural, big, bulky heavyweight, and I see up coming out with that win. But just a great. I mean, I could see all four fights that we just mentioned going either way. I think Adam, if I had to rank the confidence, I would say Adam Milstead was the one I'm most confident in. But the other three, man, could really go either way. And I want to try to get Lee Edwards and Rich Canley in a fight because that's just going to be an absolute back and forth war.
Yeah, I mean, I see Adley, you know, grinding out a win on that one. He's going to take the guy down, of course, and, you know, take it off the ground, I believe, and just keep him on the ground.
Man, like I mentioned before, I used to train with Adley. He's one of those guys who in the gym is, He's the guy that everyone wants to roll with because he's tough and he always is. He has such great positioning, really, really well-rounded guy. And his striking has just improved dramatically in fights. I mean, if you put a gun to my head, I'd probably take him in a really fun fight. That's probably the fight that I'm most looking forward to. Either way, man, jam-packed weekend. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to get back on the road, covering local MMA, hopefully we'll be able to do this again next week. Stay tuned. We're going to have some information on the official schedule for Grass MMA Live coming up. Aaron and I hopefully will be doing some shows. Then you also have Gary and Juan doing shows as well. But either way, that's going to do it for tonight. Aaron, have a great night, man. I'll see you at the latest. I'll see you Labor Day weekend.
Awesome. Sounds good. Appreciate you.
All right. Take it easy.
Yeah.